All right, everybody, welcome back to the Matthew True Love Show, otherwise known as Entertain Matt, pretty much known as Entertain Matt. Welcome, everybody. This is episode 2 of Entertain Matt. Welcome back, everybody. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad that you've decided to download my show today. It's a true honor to have you on my show today. I wish I could talk to you guys. It'd be great. So today has been an interesting day so far. Let's just dive right on in. It's been an interesting day so far for me. Texas is, the weather is pretty crazy around here lately. It's now really cold in Texas. It's cold all across the country, apparently. It's very, very weird how weather can change from out of nowhere. Here it is, the hot summertime, and now we're into the winterish time, I guess. I mean, it feels like fall, for crying out loud, and it's the middle of July. It's like July, I believe, yeah, the 18th, July 18th, and we're cold. I mean, here in Texas, that's never, like, allowed to happen. It's like a sin for the weather to actually be okay in the middle of July. In the middle of July, we're usually crawling around in our own sweat, gagging and gasping for air here in Texas. Everybody believes that we can deal with the heat like champs. No, not all of us. At least I can't. The heat absolutely destroys me. Anytime I even walk out to the car, it absolutely destroys me. I don't know if I'm just a wimp or what, or if I just can't take the heat, so that's why I stay out of the kitchen, ladies and gentlemen. That was a cheesy joke, and I will probably not ever do that one again. I hope not. So this is episode 2 of Entertainment. This is great. I absolutely love it. It's amazing to me. Podcasts are, you know, in my opinion, the future of entertainment. I think that podcasts and YouTube, because people come up to me, they'll ask me, you know, Matthew True Love, my name, otherwise known as Magnificent Matt, which is what I wish people would call me, but, you know, we all live in dream worlds. So people come up to me and they ask me, Matt, what do you think is the future, YouTube videos or podcasts? And I think all the time, you know, I just think, you know, I don't really sleep very much, ladies and gentlemen. I don't sleep a whole lot. Like a lot of people, you know, the average amount of sleep Americans get now, I think it was like 70 or 80% of people nowadays just get about 7 hours of sleep, 6 to 7 hours of sleep. Man, I imagine those are the ones with jobs. Ones without jobs probably get less, maybe get a little bit more. It's a tough world out there, ladies and gentlemen. We're all going through a hard time right now financially. It's rough on America right now. All we can do is hope and pray it gets better. I know that's what I'm hoping for. And, you know, I mean, but here we are. This is going to be a happy show, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you guys get entertained by my show. I think the number one goal of this show is to put a smile on people's faces, especially if they're having a bad day. I mean, if you're having a good day and I still manage to put a smile on your face, well, God bless you. And if I make you smile when you're having a bad day, I'm super thrilled with that. And that's a huge honor to be able to do that. And if I don't, well, I'm sorry. But there's nothing I can do about it, because this is my show. This is Entertain Matt, and I can do pretty much whatever I please. I'm going to talk about some interesting subjects today. Today's episode is going to, like I said, today was an interesting day. I went and saw Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, so I'm going to review that movie real quickly. And then my next subject is going to be Battleground, considering we are only 2 days away from Battleground. Tonight is Friday Night SmackDown. I don't know how long it'll take this episode to get onto iTunes. But tonight is Friday Night SmackDown, which is pretty much WWE's B-rated show for any non-wrestling fans out there. If you are looking to getting into wrestling, if you want to become a wrestling fan, start with Monday Night Raw. Start with Monday Night Raw and just Monday Night Raw. You don't have to watch SmackDown. You don't have to get the network or anything. You know, don't overindulge yourself, because it takes time to get used to the product. It takes time to understand the beauty that is pro wrestling. And like I said, we're not going to just talk about pro wrestling on this show. We're going to talk about everything. Like it says in my description, we're going to talk about video games, TV shows, comic books, movies, all sorts of things, ladies and gentlemen. The main core subject will be professional wrestling. And today's episode is going to be mostly professional wrestling, even though I will give a brief review over Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, since I just went and saw it. And then I will dive into Battleground preview, give my predictions on who I think is going to win, who I think is going to lose, if it's going to be a bad show, a good show, a decent show, and all that good nonsense. I will go over each match. I looked up the match card last night because it seems as if the only match that has any interest is the Fatal 4-Way and the Jericho and Wyatt match. And both of those matches are going to be, I think Bray and Jericho are without a doubt going to be the matches of the night, ladies and gentlemen. The match of the night will be Bray Wyatt versus Chris Jericho, but it might possibly not be. And I'll get into that in just a minute. And once I go over each match, give my prediction of Battleground, I will dive into the main event, which will be the CM Punk situation. Now, the CM Punk situation is a complex issue, and I will dive right into that at the main event of the hour. And I hope you guys enjoy it, so let's get started. Okay, so let's get started with Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, my review. Now, understand that everything on this show is my opinion. This is basically an hour audio of my personal opinions. Now, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, I wasn't really looking forward to it. You know, I liked Rise of the Planet of the Apes. I thought that was a really well-done movie, and I'm just a James Franco guy. That's just who I am, and I like James Franco. He's a good actor. Very talented kid. But for me, it was interesting that James Franco wasn't in it anymore. And, you know, it's all good. You know, I can understand. He's making that anti-Korean movie or whatever it is. That's got him and Seth Rogen in hot water. And there's some lucky guys being able to, you know, make movies with their best friends. I mean, isn't that like the number one goal in the world is make best friends and make good movies? But anyway, before I blabber on, let's understand that I wasn't really looking forward to the movie. I wasn't really thinking much of it. But when I look, I check Flixster out, not trying to plug them or anything, but I check Flixster out to see the reviews of movies. And it's amazing to me, lately, the reviews of some movies. The movie Tammy, with Melissa McCarthy, got terrible reviews. From critics, of course. Critics don't like comedies. I just truly don't think that critics like to laugh. But users, too. I think it got a 52 or a 57%. I'm not really sure. But it was in the 50s with Tammy. And that was really sad, because I like to see comedies make it. But the number one that was a huge disappointment was Transformers. That movie was a huge disappointment. Not for me personally. I actually personally enjoyed it, and I'll give a better review of Transformers in one of my later episodes. But I think the number one problem with Transformers was that it was nearly 3 hours long. And here's the thing. In my opinion, the movies should not go any longer than 2 hours. Maybe 2 hours and 15 minutes. But I feel that after the 2-hour mark, people are kind of begging for the movie to be over with. And that's not a good thing. Martin Scorsese always makes about a 3-hour movie, and he's a brilliant director. But to me, it's just one of those things where, I mean, Titanic was 3 hours and 15 minutes long. And the only part that everybody likes to watch is the beginning part. You know, the first 2 hours. Everybody says, oh, don't even watch the third hour. It's just too depressing. You know, That's just my opinion. But Dawn of the Planet of the Apes did good, because 2 hours and 15 minutes is exceptional if you've got an exceptional movie. And in my opinion, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes is an exceptional film. Here's the thing. They have a certain plan with the Dawn of the Planet of the Apes movie. They have a really good plan going in to Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. They have a very unique, it's a very unique story with a very unique perspective. The graphics are spectacular. I believe they have finally accomplished what the most Hollywood actors are afraid of Hollywood accomplishing. They are able to do computer graphics, and the people are interested in the computer graphics more than they are the actual actors. Now, true, Gary Oldman is one of my favorite actors of all time. He is a tremendous character actor. Absolutely amazing. He can dive into any character he wants, make any of them believable, and make them his own. He is a brilliant actor. He does have a side part in this, which I knew going in, because most actors that have already made it just do side parts mostly. So, Gary Oldman did great for what little he was in. I think about total he's in about maybe 20, 25 minutes of the film, if even that much. The main guy is the, if any of you went and saw Lawless, which is one of my favorite movies of all time, and I will give a great review on that film in one of my later episodes. A lot of people were kind of disappointed in it. I thought it was one of the greatest films ever made. But I'll dive into that on a later episode. So he's the oldest brother on the Lawless movie. He's the crazy drunk one that howls at that one point where Shia LaBeouf brings the girl to the moonshine place where Guy Pearce, who does a phenomenal job in that film, and they follow. So he's the one howling and doing all that. So it was interesting to see that. And there's a teenager in there, that little skinny, pale kid. His last name is McPhee, or Fee, something like that. I cannot believe. That kid is from one of the greatest, scariest movies of all time. One of the greatest horror films of all time is Let Me In. For those of you who don't know what that film is, it is a remake, but I enjoy the remake a lot more than the original. Richard Jenkins is in it, and Chloe is something. It's a unique name. She's going to be in a new movie here before long, and I'll get her name down. I do apologize, ladies and gentlemen, for not knowing the names, but these are some pretty unique names that these kids have. But very tremendous actor. He's really grown up. He's a really skinny, pale kid, but he was from Let Me In, which is another movie I will review in a future episode. But anyway, pretty much, for all of you wondering if you should go see Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, in my opinion, yes. I was not looking forward to it. I didn't really care, but I thought, you know what? There's absolutely nothing else. It's not like I'm going to go waste my money on The Purge. I'm just going to wait for that out on DVD on Redbox, which is sad in the movie industry now because everybody has Redbox, everybody has DVDs, everybody can order it on iTunes, pre-order it and all that, whatnot. But, you know, people enjoy the movie theater. There's nothing like going to the movie theater. Absolutely nothing like it. I love it. It's one of the few joys of life that really can't be taken away unless you're sitting by a texter or an annoying kid or some jerk is kicking your seat. And believe me, the jerk kicking your seat has happened a lot. And it really ticks me off that happens. And it's like they put a huge sign saying, don't put your feet on the chair. And yet, here we go, just kicking away. Whatever. People will be people, I guess. People will be people, ladies and gentlemen. There's nothing we can do about it. So, welcome to the world. All right. So, there's my opinion of Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. If you want to go see a good movie, that's the best one in the movie box office right now, until possibly Hercules. Lucy with Scarlett Johansson is a hit or a miss. I think Luke Benson is a brilliant man, but the movie's kind of iffy with me. I love Scarlett Johansson. She's one of the most beautiful women in Hollywood right now. But I don't know. The movie is kind of iffy with me, ladies and gentlemen. It's kind of an iffy movie. It's either going to be a huge hit or it's going to be a huge flop. It has the potential with that movie. Look at Transcendence earlier this year with Johnny Depp. It was a flop. It was an absolute flop, ladies and gentlemen. And I haven't seen it personally. I wanted to go see it, but then when I saw the terrible reviews, I was like, oh, Johnny, what'd you do? Nobody blames Johnny. I think it was just the idea of the film or something like that. I'll watch it on DVD and give a review on what possibly went wrong. All right, let's dive into Battleground real quick, ladies and gentlemen. I wanted to start real quick with the IC, or the Intercontinental Battle Royal, who I think is going to win. Poor Bad News Brown, or Bad News Brown, my goodness, ladies and gentlemen, I'm thinking back to the 80s. Bad News Barrett, Bad News Barrett, it has gotten injured. This is his second or third time to get injured. He's been injured before, let's see, he had a terrible, it was an elbow injury, that's right. It was an elbow injury that he had, that he was out for 6 to 9 months. I can't remember how long. And then he got lost in the shuffle, then started getting this great deserved push that he, you know, like I said, deserves. And then all of a sudden, what happens? The poor guy gets injured again, ladies and gentlemen. Gets injured again. I feel really sorry for Wade Barrett because he's never had that chance to truly shine. And he was just starting to get that. Now he's lost it. Now, by the time he gets back, WWE will never trust him again. They'll probably never push him again. And I'm not saying that because he's not talented, because he is very talented. He's one of the better wrestlers they have. And it's truly sad that a guy who could possibly be world champion one day will never get the deserved push. But the same thing goes for Dolph Ziggler. So, we have the Intercontinental Battle Royal coming up because Bad News Barrett got injured, no longer has the belt. So, who do I think's going to win the Battle Royal? Well, you got a bunch of mid-card jobbers in there, ladies and gentlemen. And the only people that could possibly win it is Sheamus. And it's an interesting idea to think that Sheamus could possibly win it. Sheamus has really been in a rough spot as of late. He hasn't really had a grand time ever since returning from injury. Because his face, let's face it, his face run is very stale. It's time to turn him heel, but we have to wait for the right time. Right now is not the right time because they're pushing all the young talent. And Sheamus has been with the company since 2010, so he's been with the company for over 4 years, and it's one of those things where he's not really, you know, he's very experienced over the world. He's got 4 years in with WWE, which nowadays is a freaking veteran, considering all the green guys we have now, but it's really sad to see Sheamus go for what he is, because he is a top guy, or he used to be a top guy, and now I don't know. Now he's one of those guys that just kind of might just get lost in the shuffle, but he'll always be there. You know, he's always got a job because he's a very good worker, very hard worker, and the people like him. People are starting to not get behind him, which is really sad, considering how talented Sheamus is. But Sheamus could unify the U.S. and the Intercontinental titles. He could possibly unify them, which is what I think is right. I think that's the right way to go. If you have one world champion, don't have a U.S. champion and an Intercontinental. That's pointless to me. What the right thing to do, and this is not me blowing on the internet, you know, saying, oh, I know what's exactly right for WWE. No. I mean, the wrestlers get on the internet all the time, but sometimes the internet knows what it's talking about, in my opinion. You know, sometimes the wrestlers are too hard on the internet. Sometimes, why don't you take that criticism and kind of look at it and say, you know, maybe they have something here. But nope. Whatever the internet says is cursing wrestling or whatever, I guess. But, yes, I think that Sheamus unifying the U.S. and Intercontinental title would be really great. I think that would be a really wise move. But Cesaro is a strong candidate, too, because he didn't win the Money in the Bank, you know, for the title last month. He could possibly win the Intercontinental title. I could see him winning the Intercontinental title staying in that mid-card status, especially since Paul Heyman obviously isn't going to accompany him to the ring, at least for the time being, if ever again. Maybe Paul Heyman's given up on Cesaro too, because Cesaro's really in a rough spot, because, you know, there's a lot of guys in rough spots. Cesaro's just trying to find that next thing. All he needs is that one little thing to get in that right groove to become one of the biggest stars right now. I mean, he has that potential. And he could do it. He could very well do it. So Sheamus could unify the titles, or Cesaro could win the whole thing. Personally, I love Cesaro. I would love to see him win the titles. Really, I would love for Sheamus to have beaten, or Cesaro to have beaten Sheamus for the U.S. title, and then would have went on to win the Intercontinental. That way, he could have been the one to unify the titles, and then, you know, whatever. But Sheamus, if he unifies them, that'll be great. If Cesaro wins, I won't be too upset. Although I do feel that they need to unify the mid-card titles. Give the Intercontinental title some prestige again. For crying out loud, that Intercontinental title means absolutely nothing. It's almost like a curse nowadays in the WWE. I've seen it time in and time again. They get a huge push. These guys get a, you know, kind of a decent push. Win the Intercontinental title. And then they start losing all the time. It's like, it's almost as if you're a wrestler, you don't want the Intercontinental title. And that's the last thing you want. And that's sad to me. But moving on, apparently Cameron versus Naomi is got added. I don't really care for this rivalry. I knew it was coming one day. But I feel as if I just don't really care about it. You know, I'm glad for Naomi because she is a fan. She's a great wrestler, very athletic. So I feel that Naomi should win. Will Cameron win? Possibly, because she's going to be a great heel because she's just a natural born heel. Now we have moving on to Jack Swagger versus Rusev. Swagger's getting a huge face push, apparently, even though he hasn't really wrestled as a face. Apparently, he's not allowed into Canada due to that drug problem he had a while back, which I think cost him the world title. I honestly think they were going to push Swagger to the point where he was the world champion at WrestleMania. I honestly believe that. And maybe Ziggler would have been the only one to never cash in, but the way things turned out, this is the way things turned out. Swagger versus Rusev. Rusev is undefeated, giving a semi-big push, even though all he's beaten is jobbers. You know, like Xavier Woods, R-Truth. Even Big E has turned into a jobber. Big E was considered one of the guys that was going to be the top guy. Now, you know, the crowd hasn't really gotten behind Big E. Now he's kind of just there. And Rusev is really getting that big push, and he's, you know, he's beaten Big E two or three times. And Swagger versus Rusev, I don't see Swagger winning. I don't see Rusev's amazing, or not really amazing, but I don't see his winning streak going out. It is interesting that Rusev has a winning streak and Bo Dallas has a winning streak. If they continue to go with a Bo Dallas streak, then I see Rusev's streak ending sooner rather than later, because they don't like to have two streaks going on at the same time. AJ Lee versus Paige for the Divas Championship. This is an interesting rivalry, because I personally feel that AJ and Paige have the ability to make the Divas unit strong again. And they have two Divas matches on a pay-per-view. That is extremely rare to have that. And, you know, with Total Divas, which is, yes, a show that I watch, and I actually enjoy the show. Maybe it's the beautiful women in bikinis, maybe it's the drama. I don't really know. Maybe I'm just crazy. I don't really know. But there's a lot of guys out there that enjoy the show. I don't know. It's an interesting world out there, ladies and gentlemen. You find things out about yourself you thought you never knew. But moving on, AJ Lee versus Paige. I see AJ retaining simply because, I don't know, Paige's title run was going to be grand. Paige came in, her debut, beat AJ, who had held the title longer than anybody. I love AJ to death. She is without a doubt the best diva in the WWE right now. Now, some will argue that Natalya is very good technically. I have nothing but respect for Natalya. I think she does deserve better than what she's getting. But AJ is just, she's special. She's a special diva, and she's the number one diva. Paige needs a little more time on the main stage to get to that point where she is that good. She's obviously better than most of the divas, but I think the problem with Paige's title run was when she lost against Alicia Fox. When I saw that, I was shocked, first of all. I was shocked, and I was really disappointed, because I really felt like they kind of just, all that momentum they had built up and built up and built up and built up for Paige, they absolutely ruined it with one loss by Alicia Fox, who they have never used ever since she, on the same night, injured Beth Phoenix and cut the worst promo I've ever heard. Seriously, if you've never seen that, go and watch that, and you'll see why they've never pushed her before. I have nothing but respect for Alicia Fox, but still, that was a rough night in the business because of that, and nobody understood why. So I see AJ retaining, even though this is a weird rivalry, because it has no build-up. They're best friends. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. And I hope AJ and Paige make the Divas division better, because I feel like they have the ability to make their rivalry like Trish Stratus and Lita. And everybody knows how wonderful that rivalry was. So moving on, Dean Ambrose versus Seth Rollins. Some people thought that Seth Rollins was really injured at Monday Night Raw when he was limping around on his leg. Apparently he's not. Apparently he's fine. So that's good news, because if anybody else gets injured, they're not going to have a product, ladies and gentlemen. Either that, or they'll finally have to start pushing Ziggler, which is what I think they should have done all along. Dean Ambrose versus Rollins. This is going back and forth. They're really pushing Rollins strong. I think with the attack on Monday night, more than likely that will give the favor to Rollins, and Rollins will probably win based on the fact that Dean Ambrose is hurt, that he was attacked by Kane, Randy Orton, and Rollins. And that'll be good. I think Dean will put up a really good fight, and that'll make Dean look stronger, and then Rollins will pick up the win anyway. But I think Dean will still attack Rollins over and over. And then, now, with the whole Money in the Bank situation, the fact that they mention it so much means that Rollins is probably not going to cash in for quite a while. It is interesting, though, that when Rollins won, they started mentioning the fact that nobody has cashed in Money in the Bank at WrestleMania. Now, that's an idea, ladies and gentlemen. You want to make a star. You want to make a future Hall of Famer. That is the way to do it, in my opinion. That is the way to do it. So I see Rollins winning. I think Ambrose will look strong, even though Ambrose really needs a win. He really needs to start winning, otherwise he's going to turn into a jobber, a crazy jobber. And I don't want that. Dean is way too talented for that. So we'll see what happens, but I see Rollins winning. Usos versus Wyatts for the tag team titles. If the Wyatts didn't win the first time, then they're sure as crap not going to win the second time. And it seems to me like the only two tag teams in the WWE right now are the Usos and the Wyatt family, because they have faced off every single week for the past 3 months, and I'm sick to death of watching them. I mean, I'm sorry, but Usos versus Wyatts time in and time again is just too much. You know, you got to mix it up a little bit. And I don't mean mix it up as in having Jey Uso go against Luke Harper and then Jimmy Uso go against Eric Rowan. And then vice versa and blah, blah, blah. No. Push Curtis Axel and Ryback. I feel like that tag team deserves. I thought that tag team had a lot of great chemistry. And they're really doing good together. They enjoy being around each other. They get along in the back and, you know, around and in the ring. They're a great tag team. Curtis Axel, otherwise known as Michael McGillicuddy. Thank God he got rid of that horrible name. Goodness gracious, what an awful name. Michael McGillicuddy. Oh my goodness. Even Howard Finkel, I think, would throw up at that name, because I don't even think, as amazing as his voice is, I don't think even he could make it that name sound good. I mean, yeah, that's just an awful name. Ryback, you know, was going to be the next big thing, and then all of a sudden, boom, bam, losing streak, loses at WrestleMania 29 in a terrible decision, because Mark Henry didn't need the win, even though he would go on and fight Cena for the title. And I don't know, but Ryback ended up destroying Mark Henry anyway after the match was over, so it was completely pointless. So Ambrose versus Rollins. Rollins wins. Wyatts, I don't see the Wyatts winning the tag team titles if they didn't win it before. I think the Wyatts should win the tag team titles at some point. I feel like the Ascension down there in NXT, for any of you guys that watch NXT, or gals, I love any chicks that are wrestling fans. So for you guys and gals who watch NXT, and see the tag team division down there, pretty much the number one tag team and pretty much the only good tag team is the Ascension. I feel like they will make a strong point at some point in WWE and give the Usos a run for their money. Now, on to the big match, to the definite match of the night. I don't feel like, because we all know who's going to win the Fatal 4-Way, but I'll get into that in a minute. Bray Wyatt versus Jericho. Now, here's my problem with this match, is I have a strong feeling that there's not going to be a definitive winner in this match. I feel like Bray Wyatt and Jericho is going to go on for a while. You know they're going to have a match at SummerSlam. SummerSlam is right around the corner. So do you honestly think they're going to let a decisive winner win? You know, it's a possibility. It's a strong possibility. But it's just a normal match. Bray Wyatt versus Jericho. You know, just one of those matches. It's going to be the match of the night. They'll give a phenomenal performance, and this is my personal opinion. I think they'll give a phenomenal performance, as great as Bray Wyatt is and as great as Jericho is. They'll give a great performance, and then it'll be a double disqualification or a count out. You know, something fluky, you know, like that, and that'll build for a SummerSlam rivalry. Now, if I had to choose an actual winner, hands down, Bray Wyatt, because that's, Jericho loves Bray Wyatt, and he's, you know, it's said, I've read that Jericho chose to work with Wyatt. He chose to work with Wyatt at NXT, you know, before the whole Wade Barrett thing. That was way after that, but he chose to work with Bray Wyatt in NXT, and you should look that match up if you haven't. It's a good match, and then a match. Now he's working again in a great return. Jericho had a great return, I must say. A great return, surprised everybody yet again. And I love it. I love that he surprises us no matter what and comes up with different, unique ways. The thing with The Miz was great. But yeah, back to the match. I see Bray Wyatt winning, making him look strong. But I really just don't see there being a definitive winner at Battleground, just to push this rivalry further. Now on to the main event. Cena versus Roman Reigns versus Kane versus Randy Orton for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship, which is still too long of a title. Too long of a title. Just call it the WWE title. Apparently, supposedly, when Cena, this past Monday Night Raw, gave Ric Flair the heavyweight title, that was the retirement of the heavyweight belt, which is sad to see it go, but nobody deserved it more than Ric Flair. So that's an interesting way to do it, is to do that. So, you know, if that's the way it goes, that's perfectly fine with me. Just having the... I've been saying lately that they need just one title belt. You know, don't carry around two of them, especially the way Cena's doing, where he's just carrying around on his neck with the two of them branded together. That's ridiculous. Makes it look so awful. I'm sorry. That's just my opinion, but this match, I would have liked it better if it was an elimination match, honestly. I would be a lot more interested if it was an elimination match, because you know what would happen. It would eliminate down to Roman Reigns and Cena, then it would be interesting to see. But they didn't make an elimination match because they want to make Roman look strong. I do not see Roman Reigns getting his shoulders pinned to the mat. I don't see Cena's shoulders getting pinned to the mat, because who do I think's going to win it? Who do we all think's going to win it? And pretty much no, John Cena. And here's why. Cena is going to be the winner because Reigns is not ready. He is still a green guy. You know, he's worked in the business for over a year and a half with The Shield. And I will give a wonderful episode to The Shield, which is without a doubt my favorite faction of all time in professional wrestling. Not the Four Horsemen, not Evolution, not DX, but hands down The Shield. And I will explain that on my episode with The Shield. And so Cena will be the winner because the company relies on him. Kane is too old. He can still run with the boys, and if he wanted the world title, I think he could get it. Do I think he wants it? Heck no. He doesn't want that pressure. He's a part-timer now. To be honest with you, he doesn't wrestle all the time. You know, which is good for him and probably good for the viewers. But I love Kane. I kind of rib him all the time, but I love Kane. But, it's better to not have Kane the world title, the world champion, even though he does deserve it. And Orton, I just don't see Orton having the title for a while. If Cena, by some weird way, gets injured, then Orton will be the champion. Because the only two guys that the company relies on is Cena and Orton, since Daniel's out for probably another year, which is really sad. So, Cena will be the winner, because Reigns is not ready, Kane is too old, and Orton, I don't want to say that Orton doesn't want it, but I just don't see Orton having the title unless Cena's injured or some weird circumstances happen. All right, ladies and gentlemen, now we're going to get to the hot and heavy subject. And so Battleground, just to finish that up, I think it will be a decent show. I am trying not to get my hopes too high up, considering SummerSlam is just around the corner, and that is where they're going to put most of their creative thought into. And I feel like SummerSlam should be a really well-rounded event. We will see the return of Brock Lesnar, without a doubt, because since he only works a few dates out of the year, why in the world would you not have him work at SummerSlam? Oh, and I will comment on the rumors speculating around that maybe Brock Lesnar will make a return at Battleground. Do I see that? I don't know. I mean, the whole segment with Paul Heyman saying, if you need a plan C, then call me, you know. I don't know. Maybe. You never truly know. I mean, Amazon did leak that photo of Cena and Brock as the cover. You never know in this crazy business. I try not to pay too much attention to the rumors, but I gotta admit, it does excite me to think that maybe we will get Brock Lesnar versus John Cena again. Even though I feel like they should never do that again, I don't feel like Brock Lesnar versus John Cena should ever happen. Daniel Bryan, it should have been Daniel Bryan. You know, if he wasn't injured, it'd be Brock Lesnar versus Daniel Bryan, in which probably Brock Lesnar would kill Daniel Bryan, and we wouldn't want that. And I don't mean to say that as in Brock Lesnar would dominate the match, which, you know, he would, because it's WWE. They always make the big man dominate. And then the little guy, you know, comes back, fires back. House of Fire is a baby face, gets the people all excited. Boom, bam, 1, 2, and 3. But here's the thing. Brock Lesnar, he doesn't need to be beat. He beat The Undertaker at WrestleMania, something I have a huge problem with. And I will dive into that in my next episode. My next episode is going to be dedicated to WrestleMania 30, and I'm going to be talking about my problems with WrestleMania 30. And that's my number one problem with WrestleMania 30. Brock Lesnar, it still aggravates me to this day. It's a very complex issue, but I'll talk about that in my next episode. Or at least I'll try. So on to the main event. Enough of me blabbing on. I'm sure you guys are ready for me to get to the main event, which is the CM Punk situation. Well, let's get started, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, for all you fans out there, CM Punk, man, what a unique human being. You love him, but you hate him. You know, it's one of those things where he reminds me of House. For any of you people that were able to watch one of the greatest shows on television, House was a jerk doctor, but he was so good that people had to respect him. And I feel that's what CM Punk was. CM Punk is, without a doubt, a jerk. You know, everybody complains that he's one of the biggest jerks in the business. And, but, you know, who can blame him with his childhood? When you watch his biography, it's no wonder the way he is. I think anybody in his childhood way would have been the way that they are. Because that's just an awful way to grow up. So, CM Punk is a guy who is, without a doubt, he claims to be the best in the world. And he was, without a doubt, one of the best. Was he the best? Not at the time he left. And I think that's part of the reason why he left. But let's dive right on in into it. I want to go back in time to his 434 days as WWE champion. Now, that was, without a doubt, one of the best title runs I have ever had the pleasure of seeing. CM Punk, month after month after month after month, kept his reign fresh. He went from being a face world champion to being the most hated heel champion. And he was spectacular. I've got to give him the credit, all the credit in the world. He claimed to be the best in the world. In 2011, he did the pipe bomb, which set the world on fire. In November of 2011, he won the title. In 2012, the whole year he was champion, from the two matches, one at Money in the Bank and one at Over the Limit that he had with Daniel Bryan, two of the best matches that WWE has ever done, he was the best in the world. Because Daniel wasn't at that point yet. But CM Punk, without a doubt, during his 434-day title run, was the best in the world. He was a phenomenal wrestler. He kept it fresh. He kept all the matches great. He fought hard. He worked hard. He was there to prove a point. And I think that's what motivates a person, is when you have something to prove. And he had something to prove. He proved to Triple H. He proved to Vince McMahon, hey, I'm not the biggest guy. I'm not a Cena lookalike. I'm not a Brock Lesnar or a Triple H or anything like that. But my name is CM Punk, and I am a phenomenal wrestler, and I can get these people behind me, and I can put on great matches. I can carry this company on my shoulders because I don't have to be a 300-pound, 6-foot-7 monster to do that. I can be an internet darling and win the WWE title and set the world on fire and make professional wrestling good. And that's what he did. He did great. He had one of the best title runs ever. And he is the fourth or fifth longest reigning world champion in history. So I wanted to go back to that, because at the end of his 434-day title run, you could tell he was getting tired. He's been going through a rough schedule. He had been going through a rough schedule with WWE, where he said in an interview he had 1.5 days off. He would travel home Wednesday, get there on Wednesday night, have all day Thursday, and then fly out Friday, which is about roughly 1.5 days. You could almost consider it two, but considering you're traveling on one of your days, that's not necessarily a day off. So about 1.5 days, roughly, each and every single week, besides the European tour where you don't get a single day off. So he really seemed not really burnt out at that time, but he did seem like he needed a break at that time. So then he did his two battles with The Rock, where Rock came in, beat him 1, 2, and 3, and then they did the rematch at the Chamber. A lot of people had problems with that match, with the one at the Royal Rumble, where Rock just beat him with the people's elbow. I can kind of see that being okay. I do see where people have a problem with it. I feel like Punk should have kicked out, and then Rock should have done the Rock Bottom, you know, and then should have done the people's elbow, and that should have been it. But, you know, I'm not going to nitpick it like that. It was fine. It was what it was. So we go to the two battles with Rock, and then CM Punk finally gets, I think he gets like 1, maybe 2 weeks off, and then he goes right into a program with The Undertaker. He does the whole thing with The Undertaker, and then Paul Bearer, you know, passes away, so he does the whole thing going against Paul Bearer, rubbing the dust up, which was very disturbing, but I loved it, absolutely loved it. I mean, I miss Paul Bearer, but that segment was freaking crazy. And Punk had gotten permission from the family. If the family hadn't been okay, then I would definitely have a problem with it. But the fact that the family was okay with it was really, really cool. I mean, I have nothing but respect for that family. So he had barely any time off before WrestleMania. Then he went on to face The Undertaker at WrestleMania 29, and without a doubt, the match of the night. I mean, the Slammies aren't nothing much anymore. They're just something to pop a rating, you know, semi. But when Rock and Cena won the match of the night, it was really just like, oh, come on. You know, it's so disturbing to see that. And, you know, the crowd booed. That night, the crowd booed. I mean, I don't mean to dive into the past, but the crowd booed. You know, Cena accepted the award, and the crowd booed him out of the building. But without a doubt, the people know CM Punk versus The Undertaker was the match of the night. And I think the problem with that is they cut the Brodus Clay and the, I believe it was Cody Rhodes and Damian Sandow. I might be wrong on that. But I think they were supposed to have a match, like a mixed tag team match, with the Bellas and the Funkadactyls. And it was supposed to be all that, but they cut it. And so they had three long main events in a row. And Brock Lesnar versus Triple H at WrestleMania was, I'm not going to say it was an awful match, but it sure as crap wasn't great. I mean, it was too long. It was too boring. And I don't know. It was just ridiculous. I mean, I love Brock Lesnar. I love Triple H. But that was just not the match of the night. Triple will claim it, but other than that, I don't know what to tell you, ladies and gentlemen. So he goes on to do the match of the night at WrestleMania. Then he goes on the next night of Raw. He walks out. He walks away when Paul Heyman starts asking him questions. He just walks away speechless, which was a great way to go out. Goes home. And then about 2 months later, he comes back to face Jericho at Payback, which, you know, it was at Chicago, Illinois. And I just wish that he could have had a longer time off, because you could tell he was ready for time off. He needed time off. And he didn't need just 2 months. He needed about 6 months. He needed a very long break. And I, to be honest, I feel like those moments when he only had 2 months off instead of 6 after fighting so hard for so long, I think that was one of the defining moments in CM Punk walking out, was that he did not get the break that he really needed. And maybe that's kind of what led to him walking out. But let's move on here. He fought Jericho at Payback in a phenomenal match. And then he went on to a full-time schedule until, after Royal Rumble. And so the night of Monday Night Raw, he goes in, Vince McMahon, Triple H, and CM Punk walk into a room after the Royal Rumble. And at the Royal Rumble, Triple H had come out and eliminated Punk after Punk had eliminated Kane. And I was very disappointed in it because nobody really... I mean, people would have been happy with it, but I was disappointed that they were going to go for, at WrestleMania 30, CM Punk versus Triple H. Because everybody wanted Daniel Bryan versus Triple H. But everybody especially wanted Daniel Bryan to win the title. But considering that at that time, it seemed like they were going to go with Batista and Randy Orton for the title, they just kind of shoved down our throats that it was going to be CM Punk versus Triple H, and Daniel was just going to kind of go to the side. Possibly even at the pre-show, it wouldn't have surprised me. So Vince McMahon, Triple H, and CM Punk walk into a room at Monday Night Raw. No telling what was said. Anybody would pay millions of dollars. I mean, that right there. Let me use this way of kind of comparing it. For you non-wrestling fans, the way, I mean, you know, like celebrity sex tapes... That tape with the audio with CM Punk, Triple H, and Vince McMahon, that audio would have been our sex tape for wrestling fans. Because we would have paid, if they would have bet on it, we would have paid millions of dollars. Somebody would have paid millions of dollars for that. To get that, to hear that, and to see what truly went on in that room. Because we'll never know. We may know years from now when it's all kind of just, oh, he said this and he said that. I don't know. But I don't think we'll ever truly know. There's a lot of secrets we'll never know, ladies and gentlemen, and that is one of them. And the world is going to be dying to know. I mean, the return of AJ Lee made people look hopeful. Did I think that CM Punk was going to return since his girlfriend, or now his wife, returned? No. No, I mean, CM Punk is done. Going back to the Royal Rumble, I was there at TLC, like I said, on my first episode. At TLC, in the last few months, you could look in Punk's eyes and see that he was grasping for interest. He was really losing heart, but he was doing his very best to stay 100%, to stay the best in the world. And why did he walk out? That's the big question. What is my thoughts on why he walked out? Number one, he was burnt out. And that goes back to the 434-day title run. That goes back to fighting twice with The Rock. That goes back to the two-week break he got before going on to fight Undertaker at WrestleMania, and then only the two-month break before going to Payback and back to a full-time schedule. That is the problem. He was burnt out. He was tired. He was done. He went through that schedule where he only had a day and a half off each and every single week. He did that for 8 to almost 10 years. That would drive almost anybody crazy. And that's just rough. And he got burnt out. He did his best. He was still great. He was phenomenal. The people loved him. And he was just grasping for that interest. He didn't want to be burnt out, but he was grasping for that interest, in my personal opinion, to stay interested, to find something for his mind to focus on, to not be burnt out on. But he was... Ladies and gentlemen, he was just burnt out. And there were rumors that he didn't want to fight Triple H at WrestleMania, that he wanted to go for the title. That's all speculation. Do I think it's true? Of course it is. CM Punk, on every interview, has said his number one goal in his life as a wrestler has been to main event WrestleMania. And what is his number one beefs? Go to the Steve Austin show, listen to Paul Heyman's interview. One of the main buffs that CM Punk had, one of his main beefs with the company that he had was, I mean, not Paul Heyman, but CM Punk had a beef with the fact that The Miz main evented WrestleMania, and one of the worst WrestleManias of all time, in my opinion. He main evented WrestleMania, retained the title, beat John Cena, who nobody had beaten Cena at WrestleMania before until The Miz did it because of The Rock. So... And Punk never got that. And that's truly a disappointment to me. So, It's just really sad to me that something happens like this. I think the number one thing is he's burnt out. If Punk wouldn't have quit, though, Daniel Bryan would have. I don't think Daniel Bryan would have ever gotten his push. I think they would have shoved down our throats that it was going to be CM Punk versus Triple H, which would have been, you know, the match would have been good. Punk would have made it interesting. Did CM Punk want the main event? Probably. Who doesn't want the main event? If you're not there to be the main event at WrestleMania and win the title, you shouldn't be there. Now the main question that everybody wants answered. Will he ever return? Will CM Punk ever step into a WWE ring again? What is my thought? No. No, I don't. I think that maybe one day, maybe on a thin string, maybe one day he'll make a special appearance just for like the Hall of Fame or something. But will he ever return and wrestle full time? No. No, I don't. I don't see that happening. He's 35 years old. He's got married to one of the most beautiful women in the world, AJ Lee. And congratulations to both of them. They got married on Friday the 13th. I mean, that just go figure. But I'm about to wrap this up, ladies and gentlemen. No, I do not see CM Punk returning to the WWE on a full-time basis. Part-time basis? I don't think so. I think Punk's one of those guys that if he's not in there full-time, he's not happy. You know, I don't think he's one of those guys like Brock Lesnar who can come in every great once in a while. And so, no. I don't think CM Punk will ever return to the WWE. And that really grieves my heart. Don't think that I'm not a CM Punk fan. I'm a huge CM Punk fan. I love his wrestling ability. I love the fact that he's such a unique human being, that he's such a jerk, and yet we do nothing but love him because he is such a phenomenal wrestler. And that's a true testament to how good he is. Just like House, that he is a horrible jerk, but he is so good at his job that we can't help but love him and respect him. Was CM Punk the best in the world? At 2012, in 434 days, for those 434 days, he was the best in the world. Hands down, best in the world. Was he the best in the world in 2013? He was certainly at least the number two guy. Was he the best in the world in 2014? No. No. No, he wasn't. And not to say that he wasn't a great wrestler in 2014. He was just burnt out in 2014. He didn't want to be there. He was tired. And he needed a break. And I think he's done. I think he's done for good. Will we ever know why? Will we ever know the true story? No. No, we won't. Because Punk's not going to say. Triple H is sure not going to say. And Vince McMahon is certainly not going to say. Three of the most private people in the whole business of the WWE, they will never, ever tell us what happened. We might get a small glimpse of it in a DVD someday. But, no. No, I will never know what happened, and CM Punk will probably never step into a WWE ring again. Well, do I hope I'm wrong? Absolutely. I absolutely hope I'm wrong. I mean, I hope if CM Punk, if you're listening to this for some weird reason, then brother, we miss you and we love you. Thank you for all your years of giving up your body to entertain us. We'd love to see you come back. Maybe one more match just to go out like you should. Main event WrestleMania one last time. And come back. For one last match. If you don't, well, you went out the CM Punk way. If there's any way for CM Punk to go out, I think that was the best way for him to go out, was walking out, because that's the true CM Punk fashion. Not to say he's a coward or anything. I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean that in a way that CM Punk was against the company because he was, you know, he was anti-establishment. And that's what we loved about him, is he wanted the change. And that's the number one thing. He wants the change to go back to the way things were in professional wrestling. Not sports entertainment, but professional wrestling. Will that ever happen? Not with the money the company's making. So that's my opinion, ladies and gentlemen. I'm an hour into this thing, and I'm going to go ahead and let you guys go. So for all you people out there who are wrestling fans, who are WWE fans, who are CM Punk fans, don't be discouraged. You know, don't be sad, because business will move on. And Punk did what he did. Was it the right thing? No. No, it's never good to walk out. Was it the right thing for WWE to do the CM Punk and Triple H thing? No. No, not at all. But I feel that it's just one of those things. Nothing we can do about it. Nothing can be said or done. Because what's done is done. And we'll have to move on. Just like we're going to move on with the episodes here, ladies and gentlemen. So you've gotten my review of Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. Go see that movie. You've gotten my predictions of Battleground, so I'll give a fallout of Battleground on my next episode next week. And we'll see what happens. I hope I'm proven wrong with the whole CM Punk situation. You've got my thoughts on that. We miss CM Punk, but I hope he comes back, but I don't think he ever will. He just might be done, and he'll probably never get into the Hall of Fame because of the way he went out, and that's truly sad. Hey, Randy Savage is still not in the Hall of Fame. I don't know why. I don't know what the beef is with him and Vince McMahon, but they need to hurry up and get over it, because if there's anybody that deserves to be in the Hall of Fame, Bruno Sammartino is in the Hall of Fame, so Randy Savage deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. One of the most unique and one of the greatest wrestlers of all time deserves to be in the WWE Hall of Fame. And so I will end with that, ladies and gentlemen. Join me on my episode 3 of Entertain Matt, where I talk about WrestleMania 30. I will give my fallout thoughts on Battleground and possibly the Monday Night Raw if anything happens building up to SummerSlam. And I will dive into WrestleMania 30. I will go over each and every single match, give my thoughts, the pros and cons of WrestleMania 30, what I thought was great and what I thought was horrible, and the one thing that I thought should have never happened with The Undertaker. So goodbye, ladies and gentlemen. God bless you all. I love you to death. All my true lovers out there. This is Magnificent Matt, a.k.a. Matthew Truelove, signing off today for Episode 2 of Entertain Matt, leading on into Episode 3 of Entertain Matt. Thank you guys so much for downloading and listening. I love you all. Thank you so very much. And it's only going to get better from here. So I will see you on this side or the other. But really, who even cares anymore?